Against All Odds is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook. Why, you ask? Because I'll tell you, it's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get your winnings fast now, delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day, right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Against All Odds so they know I sent you. All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network, joining you on a Friday morning, the last podcast of the week. Spaghetti and Meatballs fiddling with the knob. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this mess of a show. And with me, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother Brian, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Boy, this week flew, huh? We saw each other. We all saw each other. It's rare when we're all in the same room for Harry's wedding. The rehearsal dinner was a week ago. My God, yeah. Harry. Yeah. And you're still married, from what I hear?
I am, and it was a week ago when I gave your mother, your sister, and your wife all gummies. It was
all
a
right,
week
ago Harry. Today. All right, you don't what, have to what, start it off like that.
Again.
I don't understand that, yeah.
Is anybody
yeah, it's a week ago when you're
it's
home.
Not a thing anymore, Harry. Just
right,
let it go,
I know.
Man. Just
Darren,
let it go.
Darren, you're old, Darren.
That's like,
Darren,
that's,
you're
like,
old.
That's like me saying I gave my kids pieces of gum today.
I know.
Not really.
I got it.
Not really.
Yeah, we get it. Harry, you and all your friends out there
so cool,
and relatives
man.
Are drug addicts.
Was it gummy gum, Darren?
And you gave my family a little sum. Okay, it was
Darren,
a party.
You're getting old, Darren. You're getting old.
My God, it sounds like you're getting old.
I'll tell you, I'm still feeling a little sick from all the food.
Is it the food?
Yeah, definitely.
We had a nice
pizza
time.
And everything was great, but I still feel sick.
I was thinking about this yesterday. Harry has said more nice things about Megan Morant this week than he said about his wife. Have you guys noticed that? That's a fact. That is a fact.
It really
already
is, Harry.
We've already exchanged many texts this morning, Darren.
Yeah, see, this. There we go.
What's going on, Harry? What are you doing? I keep refreshing TMZ to see if you've gotten divorced or not. But very strange. And then you're complimenting Eddie Spaghetti. You're all drooling all over him.
Oh,
I don't know.
Listen, that's a short
trust guy. Taking a page out of your wife's brother's book. I don't know what's going on there. All right. But anyway, listen. Listen, you're not going to get me down. Mets had a huge comeback win yesterday. Down 6, they score 7 in the ninth. How about that?
Congrats.
How about that? Congrats.
That
is
was
impressive.
Something else, Sal. Something else.
That is impressive. 857 consecutive losses by MLB clubs when trailing by 6 runs or more in the ninth. The Mets' biggest comeback in 25 years. They beat the Expos. That was it. It was a Carl Everett at a grand slam. They beat the, and I checked on FanDuel. Someone collected 15-1 odds, Brother Bry. It was as high as 60-1.
I was going to say 15-1, but at what point did they get that, right?
Because they must have got it when they were down like 4 or something. Or
yeah,
three
if you're down, if you're down, you know, if you're down 6 there or whatever, like those odds have to be much better than that.
Yeah.
It never happens.
So I heard it got as high as 60-1. Meanwhile, a couple hundred miles away, the Yankees are getting drunk, making fools of themselves at a Rangers game. Judge, LeMayu, Mets are serious about baseball. Yankees aren't. I don't know, Parley kid. You should be worried about Judge. There's a reason they don't pay him. Guy's going to be it's gonna be found passed out in an alley behind Applebee's in Times Square.
Judge
that's
is too
happens.
Busy giving autographs to kids, maybe. That's about the only thing he's too busy doing.
You hated it. You hate when the Yankees mix with the Rangers. You're a lifelong Islanders fan. It's and then
the
beer.
Rangers, well, look, let's face it. The Rangers are taking a page from the Islanders, and what the Islanders have done in the playoffs the last few years is having a little bit of a celebrity row having some of these professional athletes there chugging beers. Totally copied it from the Islanders, but, you know, the Rangers, it's been a while since they've been in the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, they're kind of figuring things out still, so.
I want to get to that in a second, the Rangers tie. Eddie Spaghetti's Rangers, even the Sears. I want to talk about that for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Bry, you continue at extrapoints.com. This is where these guys, the degenerate trifecta, give their free picks every single day. Bry, it's almost too easy. You went against the Reds yesterday, and now this is 20 out of 21 they've lost and 19 by two or more runs. Is that what goes on?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? So they've the run line, you've been like, I know yesterday, I think maybe the run line was maybe minus, but for most of this stretch, right, a lot of these run lines have been like plus 140, plus 135, plus 150 betting against the Reds here. And yeah, they've gone 19 of the 21 games they've lost by two or more. Now they play.
That's insane.
Well, we'll see with Joel's team. They play the Pirates now this weekend. So we'll see how bad the Pirates are.
Joel, what's the Pirates payroll? Because the Reds are like $117 million. They're not. I think it's still low. Probably 25th in the league, 24th. But good Lord, they're 3-22. This is the worst stretch I could remember, right? Joel, what is it? What is their, what's the Pirates payroll? Do you have that handy?
I mean, it's definitely lower than
like $65,000 or something.
It's lower than the extra points payroll. That's for sure. But no, I mean, Brother Brad's right. They have the worst, the Reds right now, worst run differential through 25 games since 1900 minus 87. Only worse, the 2010 Pirates at minus 89. So
wow,
makes sense. Some of the more recent teams.
Yeah, although the Pirates made the playoffs like 3 years in a row somehow, that wild card game. All right, let's get to Eddie's Rangers. Good job, Spaghetti. You even the series. Lots of controversy. Boy, I could watch you and Sheck going back and forth on text and on Twitter. It's the best part of my night. I really hope this goes 13 games. The Rangers now minus 152 for this series. Game three is Saturday. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Like I said, I hope they win in five. I'm sure if that's still feasible, but I think you knew the Rangers are going to come out really high with a chip on their shoulder after the way they were robbed in game one, but maybe a blessing in disguise because they didn't go to overtime. They would have never had the opportunity to play Louis Domingue, who's now going to be the starting goaltender going forward. So anytime you get an AHL goaltender, as your opponent, it's pretty good, but I just like the way the Rangers are playing. I know the Pens are still banged up. Rangers are slightly banged up, but they just don't have the physicality. They cannot win the puck battles in the corner. And I think Igor is going to have one of those games where he totally stands on his head, potentially shuts them out. That's our ace in the hole. So I feel really good, even though they're going to Pittsburgh on Saturday.
Wait, Igor's playing after that? Oh, wow. Holy smokes.
Yeah, standing on his head or laying on his back, what? Spaghetti.
Well, that's what he
this
has
is
to
one
do.
Of the things, you know, it's funny because you say the Pittsburgh's not physical enough, but then you and Damashek argue about how dirty they are for being overly aggressive.
I think that play by Jeff Carter with a few minutes left in the game down and how many goals they were down to skate hard into a goaltender. It's an unwritten rule. You stay away from the goaltender. He didn't want to abide by that. I mean, it's the same thing. If you skate hard after the whistle and you ice the goaltender, you spray him with when you stop short with your skates, you're going to get hit in the face after doing that. So obviously running into the goaltender is a little bit insane that late in the game. And Carter has, some problems of his own, but Dave wants to make fun of that. I mean, like, I don't know why he brings up Sidney Crosby on Twitter from stuff from decades ago. And I know that if Ryan Reeve took a run at Domingue or DeSmith or whoever's in the net for them, like he would have been flipping out, calling the Rangers dirty. So it's just, to me, it's just unnecessary. And Gerard Gallant said it best. He said, like, that point of the game didn't need to happen. It was totally avoidable.
Well, let me tell you something real quick before you jump in here, Paulie Kid, about unwritten rules. Unwritten rules also dictate when you're down six in the ninth inning, you put your bats down and your gloves down and you look forward to the next game. That's what we did with an unwritten rule. Right, Paulie Kid?
That's why you run up the score anytime you have a chance to. Just run it up. Who cares? Keep playing till it's over.
But I do have to say, Shesterkin laid on the ice. Like, really, he really was laying there like someone threw a grenade through his chest.
That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. But look, this is the same thing Dave said about the Islanders a few years ago against Pittsburgh. Oh, the Islanders played boring. They were too boring. They were too physical. Trotz's game was not good for the NHL. It was the same stuff he's saying now. But again, it's partly because the Rangers just copied the Islanders, really, in terms of the style of play. Learning that this is how you got to win hockey games. But Eddie, to me, is a much bigger fan of the Rangers than Dave is of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I don't know.
He's a bigger
fan.
I agree.
He's a bigger fan. He is.
I will. Eddie, really? I mean,
Eddie lives and dies with this stuff. I don't know if I could say the same thing with Dave.
Dave is a bigger fan. I will say, Dave, and I brought up the Islanders thing to him. I'm like, you talk about grit and everything. You did the same thing with the Islanders last year when they pushed you around a little bit. And he's like, you know what? it's too emotional being a hockey fan. He's like, because everybody's fan. It's different in basketball and baseball. You're a fan of a team. You think you're getting ripped off on every call. You think the other team is being overly aggressive. It is kind of true. And he and Hench pointed out, it's so scatterbrained because you could have three shots on goal and then 4 seconds later you're on your heels, right? It's too crazy, Spaghetti. So I'm going to give both Eddie and Dave credit here, and all you hockey fans.
One last thing I wanted to bring up too, and I'm not trying to rag on Dave at all. Dave's not the one on the ice calling the stuff and like word Twitter battles, whatever. I'm not bothered by that. What bothers me in like the Igor laying down thing, Jeff Carr, I'm not ultra mad about that. The biggest concern has been the inconsistency with the refereeing in this series. And everyone always says like, oh, playoff hockey, the refs swallow their whistles. It's like, well, they're really not. And then like the Rangers came into that last game. It was like 6-1 in power play opportunities. Then the Rangers got one more in the game. I mean, it just that to me is the huge issue, which like this series has been so chippy and it leads to stuff like that with Jeff Carter. If the refs just put their foot down earlier on in the series, it would have been a totally different thing. Like, I don't want to keep talking about the referees because hockey, especially playoff hockey, is the one sport where they're never really a factor. And now you're like, right, what is going on here? I don't want to keep seeing like these bogus calls. And like, they had to give the Rangers a makeup call. It was pretty bad. It's bad on both sides. So I just want like a clean game, get the refs out of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I love it. I love you two going back out. I have to say, it was tense in the studio, Parlay Kid, yesterday with Dave and Spaghetti. And until we picked out of the cap of consequences. So the way this plays out, Spaghetti, if the Rangers lose this series, Sheck cuts your hair. If the Rangers win this series, you get to shoot, I think, like a street hockey ball on Sheck in what we're calling holy goalie. I think he's dressed as a priest. And you're gonna shoot a street hockey ball on him, right? Or a few of them.
Yeah, I'm hockey ball, fruit, maybe a fruit of the year. I could shoot at him too.
Yeah, a few items in there.
A couple wristers, and he could borrow Tony's outfit from Harry's wedding.
Yeah, maybe Harry will supply some gummies out of the goodness of his heart.
About one of Dave's famous donuts that he likes, Eddie. Why not one of those too? It's a donut. Right.
A stale donut is probably harder than the street ball.
Yeah, we'll see how much you like the apple, the Envy apple, when it's and splits your nose. Yeah. All right. So you know what? We have Eddie Olczyk on. Oh, legend. Playoff hockey analyst, TNT, lead race analyst with NBC. This is a Super Bowl week. We're going to talk to Kentucky Derby. You know what? Maybe we'll ask him, Eddie, about your theory that the Pens get preferential treatment. You would ask him when he comes on?
I would like that, yes.
All right, we'll solve it right there. Harry, you took one of his tickets. What did you do? How do you know Eddie Olczyk?
When I used to work in Vegas before I got banned, I worked at Red Rock, and he used to come in and bet horses all the time there. So I knew him for years. He came in many times.
Maybe he got you banned. We'll have to ask him. Maybe he couldn't put up with your shenanigans.
Eddie loves me.
Trying to get all the clients high there as they walked in. All right. So we have Eddie O. We're going to have our own Kentucky Derby selections, our underdog pick. We have a new sponsor. Excited about that. Shark Tank. Let's settle in with the NBA. Let's first review last night's games. Oh, wait, there are none because the NBA scheduling's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
So bad.
There were no Thursdays. No Thursday games May 5th, but there are Friday games and through the weekend. And so now this Heat line, the Heat go to the Sixers. The Heat are up 2-0 and they're favored. They're a 1-point favorite. 210 is the over under. Wow. It's been jumping around 209.5, 211, 210. Now, I don't know. I'm not sure why I haven't taken a shine to this Heat team. I mean, I like Jimmy Butler as a player and as a NBA personality. They're not like a full of shit 13 seed that got lucky and made it in at 53 wins. They're a one seed. They go to the finals in 2020. They have, like, last game, they had 9 players with 5 points or more. They had 5 in double figures. Maybe that's it, Parlay Kid. Maybe because they spread it out too much. I don't like it. But the fact that they do spread it out, I think, hurts their game. In game 3, Embiid is out and probably for the rest of the way. So the series is likely over. But game 3 is going under. It went over in game 2, but 4 of the previous 5 between these two have gone under. Some of those role players, Oladipo, Caleb Martin, Omer Yurtseven. Has anyone analyzed this game and brought up Omer Yurtseven? I don't think so, but I think those guys don't score at all. Philly could win, but you don't get the free throws from Embiid at the line, which is the Heat's Achilles heels defensively. They're 27th in free throw points or defensive foul efficiency, whatever it's called. 103-100 final. Parlay Kid, you're going Heat money line here.
Yeah, so I'm taking the Heat money line. I just don't know. Even after a terrific performance by Maxey, who I had as the high scorer for that game at plus 380 the other night, Sal. I don't know if they can get much better performances than this from those type of players. Harden just looks like he cannot, you know, he cannot really do much with this great Heat defense. They're just, it's just a game for the Heat. They just play too intensive a game for the Sixers to handle. They're an in-your-face type of team. And I don't think the Heat are a team that wants to waste a game here. I think they just want to get this over with and move on. They're not playing any games. They want to take advantage of Embiid still being out. They don't want to be down 2-1. Maybe, you know, he shows up one of these games and plays. So let's roll with the Heat. Give the points, okay? And Heat's win this game. So I think might be close for a half. Heat pull away again.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I'm looking at Harden's over-under 20 and a half. So now he leads this team. And it wasn't long ago when he led other teams. And his over-under for a game like this would be what? 29? Probably 28 and a half, somewhere like that.
Well, if it was at the Rockets, probably like low 30, 31.
Really? Low 30s? God. Well, I mean, that was not long ago.
I mean, he had those stretches where, remember, where he was scoring like upper 30s. Right. I mean, that was regular season, I guess.
Oh, you couldn't touch the under. No. Now it's like, 20 and a half. How's that going to happen? Yeah. Paula Kidd, so you're going money line, which is minus 118. Some people might say just give the one and pay minus 110. It's the age-old thing. Is it worth 8 cents? But I know you don't want to worry about being up four and there's a dumb three at the buzzer. So you'll pay the extra, little extra, right?
Yeah, that's really not, because it's really the same to me. It's fine.
All right. There you go. What the hell? It's only, we'll always have money, right? All right, Harry, you'll always have this 2+ steals bet. You love this bet.
I do like it. I'm going to take Jimmy Butler. He's been fantastic in the playoffs. I'm going to take him 2+ steals, two or more steals at minus 136. He's averaging 2.5 steals in the playoffs, six straight games, two or more he's had. And four of his last five games against Philly, he's had at least two steals. Jimmy Butler, 2+ steals.
All right. And brother Bri, you're going over points.
Yeah, I'm going over Tobias Harris, over 16.5.
Went down, huh?
Well, yeah. Well, you know what the thing is, right? All these lines went down because they now don't know the status of Embiid. Right now it's like optimistic he may play, which obviously, which drops down these lines. Well, that's what I was saying. It's crazy. We don't really know what's happening. But I still like him regardless at 16.5. One of the things we learned from game two is that the only people who could really score on this team were Maxey and Harris. And, you know, even if Embiid does come back, 16.5 is low enough where, you know, I think he averaged in the last series, he's averaged 21 points per game, even with Embiid playing. He's averaged 24 per game in this series so far. You know, he's one of the, you know, he can knock down an open three if he needs to. He could also create his own to get some points. I just, normally this is at least 17.5. It's even when Embiid plays, this number has been 18.5 before, maybe even 19.5. So I think at 16.5, I think he's definitely one of the more reliable scorers for this team.
Did they just start that talk up this morning? Like, because he was definitely out now they're saying he might throw a mask on and play.
They said he was out. And then all of a sudden, like an hour ago, they said optimistic. I guess he cleared concussion.
Cleared protocol, still listed as out.
They said he's upgraded to doubtful, whatever that.
Interesting.
Wow. So he's not playing.
Who knows? We've seen crazier things.
You know, once you're upgraded to doubtful, I mean, questionable you're in, right? Questionable, you give it a run. Doubtful, it's like, oh man, now people expect me to play. It's a weird psychological thing, even though he's probably not playing. But we're going to assume he's not playing. All these totals are going up.
We've seen some weird shit over the years in the NBA with this.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a Willis Reed moment. You know, if people go nuts, he comes out. You know, it could be. Who knows? We'll see.
Well, listen, the series is likely over if he doesn't play and then they lose this game. I mean, I know I'm not saying much. If they go down 3-0, they're not starting him in game four when we think that, at least. So this is what we have to decide. Does he have six more games in him or five more games in him, or is it over? I don't know what they're gonna do. All right, on the west side, well, it's just nice to have games on a playoff day. Dallas, now here's what's weird. I don't ever remember the half point, Harry, do you?
No, I don't understand why they're even doing that in the NBA. That's silly.
Phoenix is giving a half point to Dallas. Dallas was favored by one. Now it's moved that Phoenix minus a half, whatever that means.
The only benefit is if you want Dallas and buy it to one, I guess. That's it.
And I guess, do you get a break on the VIG? Like I was talking about with Parlay Kid, what's the difference between taking them even or plus a half? If you take, yeah, right. If you take Dallas,
it doesn't make sense. The half doesn't make sense. I don't know how they did that.
It might just be like, you just take them to win. Could be like an algorithm thing where they don't know how to adjust this thing. But Phoenix is favored by a half. 218 is the over under. You know what? I think Dallas steals this game. I like Phoenix for the series. They may even win game four and then game five at home. But I think Dallas steals one here. But my big play, and everyone's going crazy about Luka, except Skip Bayless, who thinks he's a terrible player. So that gives me hope for this bet here. Luka triple-double. And you know what you want in a guy when you bet triple-double? You want him to play, right? You want him to play. And this guy plays. He has a league-high 38.8.
Yeah.
Usage rate in the playoff. That's league high, up from regular season 36.8. It was 45% in the first half of game two, but then they emptied their benches. Now that could be a problem here, but I don't think so. I think it'll be pretty close for most of the game. The guy's always on the floor, Parlay Kid. He's involved in almost every offensive play. I know it's been a while, so maybe not great value in plus 380. It's been like March 29th was his last triple double, but he's been close in all these games, 45, 12 and 8. 24-9-8, like a couple of weeks ago. You know, if he's ever going to go off, it's tonight. And I just don't feel like going with an even odds over under here. Let's have some fun. Like Luka, 34-13-11. That's my triple-double pick, plus 380. Parlay Kid, you think Brunson kind of has to come alive here, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So I was thinking of going the points. And I do like the Luka thing. Luka's hit that for me at least two or three times this year, at least twice on triple-doubles. I've gotten lucky with that. I always like that. So he's always hovering around that triple double, always. And they're going to need him to do it again. But here's the thing with the Mavericks, right? Now the talk really is that this team is Luka. That's all that we got. But going back to the last series, we were talking about this guy Brunson being a max contract player.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And then somebody tweeted out something funny like yesterday or the day before saying Brunson is playing his way right to the Sacramento Kings or something like that. You know, like, that's where he'll end up now with the deal because he's just has not shown up in these first two games. And everybody says, like, well, you know, the Mavericks are, you know, they just, it's all Luka, right? It's all Luka. Brunson was so good in that other series that he really can be that second player that Dallas needs here to start winning games. He has to step up. He had a terrible 9 points, 3-for-12 shooting the other day. I think today, and like you're saying with Luke with the high assist ratio, maybe getting Brunson some open shots. I'm taking Brunson over 1.5 threes at plus 126. He hovers around this number a lot. He's always good for one, Brunson, in many of these games. I'm just betting tonight he's going to be a little bit more active, especially from downtown with Luke getting some penetration and kicking to him. So let's take the plus money here again, like you're saying, Sal. So Brunson at plus 126 over 1.5 threes.
You know, I wonder what, I like that bet, by the way. I wonder though, like Mark Cuban, let's say they lose this game, Dallas, and game four is at home, right? And they're losing by like 15, but Brunson, his worst case scenario, Mark Cuban, is Brunson goes off, like has like 40. Then he kind of has to, it's like, oh shit, I got to give this guy.
Yes.
Worst case scenario is an ACL tear for Luka. But what I'm saying, like, what do you watch in that game? Like that's what's important in a game. If you're down 3-0, what are you going to do with Brunson next season? But I do like over 1.5 threes. Brother Bri, you like Dinwiddie. Another important component. Yeah. I like this lineup. I don't think it's all Luka.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that they played well, right, without Luka against the Jazz, right, is funny. But, you know, basically after game two, right, Jason Kidd called out, he basically called out Brunson and Dinwiddie and basically said these guys have to play better, right, because they've been bad. I mean, the one thing I'll say about Brunson is, unfortunately for him, he's a guy who probably needs the ball in his hands, so he's probably worse playing off the ball. He's not that great of a three-point shooter per se, but you know. But both of these guys, again, they struggled. I think these are the type of guys who will rebound at home right after playing poorly on the road. You know, I debated Dinwiddie over. It was 11.5 points or 1.5 threes, but I'm going to go with the threes because even though he's been playing poorly, he still had two or more threes in four straight in five of his last six. So I think these guys are going to be more comfortable and aggressive at home. So I do like both of these guys here over 1.5.
All right, Harry, if Crowder scores 15 or more, that's a monster payout for you.
Yeah, we're going to do Jay Crowder, 15 points or more at 6-1. Look, guys, I'm definitely taking a shot here with a 6-1 on the road.
Like it.
But Darren, you and I have been pushing and waiting for Crowder to emerge from a shooting and scoring slump in the playoffs, and he's starting to. In the last two games versus Dallas, he's shooting over 57% from the field and has three threes in both games. Plus, he did have 15 points in game two. He does get plenty of looks from three-point range as well. It's been 18 straight games where he's had at least four three-point attempts a game. Come on, Crowder, 15 points at 6-1.
You know, I'm sure they have it figured out. So 6-1, he does it every seven games. But it does seem like a capable player like him who's involved in a lot of the offense could make five shots. That's really what you're asking him to do is five shots plus a few free throws, right? I don't know.
He got five free throws last game, too.
Yeah. All right. That's not bad. I like all of our picks. I normally hate them. I don't even know why we post them. But no, I think we're in good shape. Hey, we got a new sponsor here. Underdog. Have I told you guys about Underdog? Yes. It's the easiest way to get some action on the NFL. Why not talk about the NFL? The largest best ball prize pool is there, and it's only at Underdog Fantasy. $10 million in total prize money. Three prizes of $1 million or more. It's the best place to play fantasy football this summer. Underdog. Now, listen, I tell you in the summer, why are we talking about in the summer? Well, the guy who won the best ball mania last year, seven-figure prize, drafted his team in June. Drafted in June. I think there was, you know, at this point last year, we didn't know if Aaron Rodgers was going to be a quarterback. Obviously, there's dollar amounts assigned to each player. So there's no time like the present to join Underdog and take your shot at $1 million draft. And best ball mania, just enter the contest on the Underdog website or app, draft the team, and that's it. No waivers, no trades, no in-season management. Underdog gives you your best score each week of the season, the highest scoring drafts at the end of the season. Plus, they're going to double your first deposit up to $100 when you sign up with the promo code Cousin Sal. That's four free entries into Best Ball Mania 3. What are you waiting for? Head to UnderdogFantasy.com or the App Store and sign up for Underdog with promo code Cousin Sal today. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Cousin Sal, the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Harry, that's it. Yeah, that's the dream, right? Take a lineup, you set it and forget it, and then you go. You try to win seven figures. All right, we're going to show Underdog some love here. I'm going to take an under. Parlay Kid, you think you can handle taking a dog?
You got it, Sal. Let's do it.
My under, 76ers, Heat, under 210. I don't know why this is so high. I know game two went over, but four of the five previous games, as I mentioned, did go under between these two teams. Oladipo, Caleb Martin, they put up six, seven, whatever in the previous game. They're going to go for nothing, one or two. You're not going to see Embiid, which means you're not going to see him at the free throw line, which is where Miami gets hurt defensively. I think this is a 103-100 final. Take the under. Give us our dog, Parlay Kid.
Sal, let's make it for me. I've had four straight NHL plus money picks, and the Kings, the underdog Kings, at plus 125 will make it five in a row. The Kings are a solid 21-16-4 at home, and even after a shutout victory by Oilers goaltender Mike Smith, he's still only 12-18 in his playoff career. Take the home underdog LA Kings at plus 125.
Two winners, an under and a dog. Couldn't be easier. Now, Kentucky Derby. Very exciting. Like I said, we have Eddie Olczyk on, expert on all this. He really more of a race analyst than he is hockey. I don't want to tag him with anything. But by the way, before we have him on and before we break down our picks, we played the other day a game Babyface Joel Solomon introduced. It was very fun. It's called Horse or Horseshit. And the three of you and me, we had to name, Babyface gave us a name and we had to guess if it was an actual horse in the Kentucky Derby or horseshit, if he was making it up. And we went like three or four rounds, right? It got exciting. Parlay Kid won. There is some controversy though, because one of the names I was given was Silver Charm. I'm like, oh my God, that's a horse. I know that's a horse. I said horse. And Babyface is like, nope. That is horse shit. Well, we come to find out it was a horse that won the Kentucky Derby in 1997. What the hell, Babyface? What are you giving me a name of a horse that was a horse and then saying horse shit?
Because I said specifically in the rules, one of the 20 horses, I tried to throw you off because you are a savant. You are like Rain Man. You know these things backwards and forwards. I tried to throw you off with the rules. Parlay Kid said this was okay because I said specifically one of the 20 horses in.
You were specific about that in this race. Yes.
I know. But why are you how hard is it to make up a name like, you know. Well, I don't know, laptop key or something. I don't know what to just say anything. Why do you make up a name that's an actual horse? That adds another, like if you say baseball player or not, Babe Ruth. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, that's baseball. Nope. No, he's not playing today. But also not a made up name. I don't know. I'm all protesting
right.
my loss.
All right. Here. Well, then you, I guess you win. You are.
No, I don't want to win.
I will review it and we'll check out the tape. And
I'm just, I don't know how hard is it to make up a name. You have to go back. Brother Brian, you know what I'm saying here? Why add a layer to this?
Yeah. I mean, I think he did say top the current 20 horses.
I know he said it, but then it's like, yeah, no, I get it.
If I would have done that to Harry, if I would have done that to Harry, you would have loved it.
Well, no, but everything else was like, oh, spoons and forks. Okay, spoons and forks. Like, I don't know, like it was a good attempt to make something up.
The funny thing is, if we did that right now, I don't know if I'd do any better today than
I know, like three of these. All right. That's why I don't want to come off as experts here. Paula Kid, you won. You get to keep the nothing that we played for. So you win horse or horseshit. But moving on, Saturday's race. Zandon is the favorite at 3-1. These numbers jump all over the place. Epicenter 7-2. Messier right now 8-1. Mo Donegal 10-1. White Abario 10-1. I'm going to go with Messier. Little known fact, named after Mark Messier, the hockey player. Do you know that, Eddie Spaghetti?
I just found out right now. I had no idea. Wow.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Canadian horse, right? Yeah.
Canadian bred horse. I think only two have won before, or three. I don't know. This is a Baffert horse, transferred Messier to Tim Yakdine. I normally don't like it when the horses enter the transfer portal, but whatever. I'll make an exception here. John Velasquez is on the saddle. Messier's improved his speed figure for six straight races. Now, here's what happens. 90% of the winners of the Kentucky Derby has had a best buyer rating, not like best buy, but best bayer, maybe B-E-Y-E-R rating of 93 or more. Messier's is 103, quickest in the field. I don't know a lot about horse racing. I think the fastest horse wins, though. That's how I play it here. And, you know, he might just be behind the pace setters and get first run at them when they collapse. I just read that somewhere. I'm adding that in there. I'm going Messier around 8-1 or 9-1 to win this thing. Brother Bri, what do you like?
Well, let me say, our buddy Joey this morning gave us one of his expert, his friends who's like an expert
picker. I think
that's
where I read that last line.
Well, he gave us Mo Donegal as the Mo Donegal as the winner.
Okay.
But I'm going to go, I should not give out winners in these races. I have not hit, I don't know the last time I hit a winner. I'll be honest. I don't even know if I've hit a winner in these main races. So I'm not giving out a winner. I'm giving out a horse to show, and I'm giving out Happy Jack to show. I mean, the fun, who's the number two horse. First of all, part of this is just for dumbness. I mean, the fact that your son was Harry's best.
I was looking at that
best,
too.
The fact that your son was Harry's best man, it hasn't even been a week. We all witnessed the craziness around Harry's wedding, right? With Brock Purdy being named Mr. Irrelevant. A couple of other weird things have come up within this wedding period around Harry. So I think Happy Jack, that just seems like something that could happen right now. But in all honesty, I checked and I was looking at horse positions to see how horses have done. And the number two horse has actually had the most top three finishers of all time. So there's been a lot of number two horses that have finished third here. And I think they finished top three 27% of the time, something like that. So, give me Happy Jack here. I mean, if he's 20-1 right now to show, you'll get what? You'll get, what would you get to show?
Well,
Harry?
It depends who wins.
Yeah, I know,
right?
I know, like, it's all part of the pool, but you probably get 4-1 or something.
No, that's going to be a good number either way to show. All right. Yeah. Happy Jack. I'm going to have to put a few bucks on that also for my son, Jack. You didn't try to give him gummy weed, did you, Harry? Okay. Showed some restraint. All right, Parley Kid, who's your Kentucky Derby winner?
Well, look, I'm going to go with Cyberknife, Sal, and I got a couple of reasons for this.
Okay.
I'll go with my I feel bad about something. I've kind of, even the other day, and I kind of said it to somebody yesterday, I'm like, oh, Cyberknife is like, it's such a dumb name for a horse. So it got me thinking. I'm like, look, I know kind of what the CyberKnife does. So I have to do a little research. I researched it. And the owner of this horse had prostate cancer, got the CyberKnife treatment, and is now cancer-free.
What an asshole you are. So
hence naming the horse CyberKnife. So great name for the horse. Great name. So that's number one. So I'm taking it. Number two, in 5 out of CyberKnife's 6 career starts, he's either coming first or second. Mm-hmm. And the jockey who's riding him, Florent Giroux, has been on him for 3 of those first or second place finishes. Kind of have a nice little short history together. At 20-1, CyberKnife is used to winning. Let's take CyberKnife.
I got to tell you, Paul, again, I'm exact opposite from you. I thought it was a cool name. And now that you researched it, I'm like, oh, boy, I don't know. You thought it was a weird name. Then you researched it and you think it's like, I don't know. I don't like knowing that. I mean, would you do stage 4 chemo treatment? Would you bet on a horse like that? I don't know. I did keep the cancer out of the race. All right. Harry, what do you like for a winner?
Well, it'll cost you $12 for in the dollar exacta box.
Oh, here we
I'm
go.
Gonna box the 2, 3, 10, and 15. Brian's right. I'm all over Happy Jack. My best man, he's very happy. He's Jack. I'm going with Happy Jack, number 2. I'm gonna go with Epicenter at 7-2, like you mentioned, Sal, number 3 horse. The 10 horse Zandon at 3-1, but also at the 15 horse at 10-1, White Abario, very underrated trainer in Safi Joseph Jr. The horse has won 4 of its 5 lifetime starts. So for a $12 bet, dollar exact the box, 2, 3, 10, 15.
Harry, I mean, we're trying to have, just give him one winner. What are you doing here?
I want to make people some real money with the exact box.
Well, this is what Harry does, because then if it loses, he just chalks, come on, what was the chance of that winning?
But he also wants to show how smart he is. Like, I'm going to box these 4 horses together. I know more than you. Yeah, but
I worked in a sports book for 14 years, and I took many exacta boxes from Eddie Olczyk. Many.
All right, but you're giving 6 horses. Like, people don't come here to try to figure out how many horses to do. They come here to get one winner and to see how Babyface rigs trivia contest.
Well, Harry, who do you like out of the 4 of those?
I like the 15. White Abario.
All right. White Abario. Oh, there you go. All right. So that's it. Those are our derby picks. Do with them what you want. I like all those too. I don't know what to say. I don't know how they lose. But hey, FanDuel, biggest horse race of the year. Do it. Bet it risk-free up to $200 with TVG. That's right. New TVG players. You can get started with a risk-free bet up to $200 on your first single horse win wager. That means you get up to $200 back if your horse doesn't win. What kind of, that's great odds. That's unbelievable odds, better than anything I read so far. TVG app gives you all the tools you need to bet the Derby. You'll get access to free picks, analysis, and wagering advice from industry experts. The Derby's coming up this Saturday. Don't miss out. Just sign up with promo code against all odds for your chance to bet risk-free up to $200 exclusively on TVG.com. And watch the TVG app. Remember, use promo code against all odds at the sign up. TVG, Kentucky Derby. Let's do it. All right. Shark Tank. We're going to do Saturday, Sunday picks only. You guys give me a pick. I'm going to buy one much like Mark Cuban does on Shark Tank, but we're calling this Shark Tank. Harry, start us off.
All right, I'm going to take the New York Rangers in game 3 at -115 over the Penguins. They dominated the Pens in a blowout in game 2 after absolutely getting screwed in that by the refs in game 1. New York, the Rangers so far, this 3-1 straight up last 4 games versus Pittsburgh. This season, the Rangers have outscored Pittsburgh 19-10. I'm riding with Team Eddie here. We're going against Double D, Dave Damashek. I am riding with Team Eddie and taking the Rangers.
Eddie, what time is this game Saturday? Is this a night game? Is it 4 p.m. West Coast?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
What are you going to do? You're going to have to skip seeing a movie.
I'll be actually at the Pearl Jam concert, so I'm going to watch that at the Forum before the show starts.
Oh, right. This was the big one. All right. Pearl Jam and the Rangers. 2 loves.
I can't back Eddie with Pearl Jam, though. I can't back him.
Whatever. Come on.
What?
Right when
Pearl Jam. They like Daughtry. It's the same as Daughtry.
Meanwhile, he's got
Daughtry. Daughtry is way better than Eddie.
He's got Bon Jovi playing at his wedding. Meanwhile,
Jeez. Right when this show's done, I'm heading over to the Forum to pick up my merch before the concert starts.
Are you really? Yeah. Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah. 1 o'clock merch tent.
Wow. I love it. I love it. I don't know. What about the guy from American Idol, Harry? What if, you know, what if he sang Jeremy or something? But he would be over the moon.
Not really.
No.
He was terrible last week, too, so he's no good.
He didn't do good?
Sounded terrible.
That's too bad. That's Harry's pick to win it. What's his name? Guardino?
Christian something. Yeah, something, yeah. Something Italian.
All right. There you go. Something Italian. All right. Brother Bri, what is your Shark Tank pick?
Well, I am going with a boxing UFC parlay. So I'm going to go with Canelo and Rose Namajunas at minus 125, both to win. So I have a feeling I'm going to put a ton on this parlay. I love both of them. The only thing I will say, so Canelo's moving up, right? He's fighting in a championship at light heavyweight here against Bivol, who's actually a pretty good fighter. He's got some decent wins. But the only thing I will say about him is he doesn't carry a lot of power. So I think against Canelo's not going to necessarily be scared of him. He's going to have the edge, and you know, he's just going to be too smart, too technical, a little bit too fast. So I really like him there, even though he's a pretty sizable favorite. And then Thug Rose, my favorite UFC fighter. She's been dominant now pretty much for like 6 years. Her only loss was when she got thrown on her head against Andrade, which was kind of like a freak thing. Now it's a rematch against Esparza. And I know Parlay Kid likes going against these, you know, she lost Esparza 8 years ago. So that fight you can throw out the window. Thug Rose has gotten so much better over that time. Esparza is a great wrestler, but...
Was that 8 years ago?
Eight years ago. So
I remember that one.
But Rose is going to have a significant advantage on her feet. And even her ground game, defense, like she's just so well-rounded, where Esparza is really, for the most part, going to be wrestling. So I like Rose huge in that one. So the two of them together, minus 125.
All right. What do we like? Well, maybe Parlay Kid is taking it, so I don't want to step on it. What's your Shark Tank pick?
I'm going UFC here at Sal Tuna. I'm going with a guy. This is a great fight. And, you know, my heart would root for Gaethje here in this fight, but my head is saying Oliveira. If you watched him his last few fights, he's just simply is just too well-rounded right now. And he's at the prime of his game. So I'm going to roll the dice on and. When he fought Oliveira against Poirier, submitted Poirier in the third round, I'm looking at the same kind of result here in this fight. I think Oliveira is going to maybe not want to fully engage in a stand-up fist fight right away with Gaethje here. I think he is going to kind of feel him out for a round before he gets real serious, maybe wear Gaethje down a little bit. So I'm looking for a later submission here in this fight in rounds 3, 4, or 5 at plus 700 for Oliveira. So submission in rounds 3, 4, or 5. You can find it on FanDuel at plus 700. I think Justin is going to be very game here. And this guy's a brawler. I wish he would wrestle more. I think this is the type of fight I think he should break out his wrestling more, but he normally doesn't. But Oliveira is pretty good there too. But he's Oliveira, I think in 2 of his last 4 wins, he's won by submission in round 3. So I'll go submission at plus 700. So I like this one. And no, I've been like very, it. My it's UFC picks have been on point my last 4 or 5 of them after some disastrous ones. So I like Oliveira. He's fantastic. This is a great fight, though. It's a great, great fight.
Well, I'm trying to think, what is it just by submission? He's plus 135, right? So you're taking 3 of the 5 rounds there and getting 7-1. That's pretty good. The problem is, rooting-wise, you just don't ever want it to go to the mat, right, in the first 2 rounds. You need them both on their feet. That's when you start getting scared.
Well,
right?
I think in the first round, it stays on its feet.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. I think in the first round... It's going to stay on its feet.
He survives the second round.
I feel like I got to get through the second round, and then now I'm really liking my odds even better at that point.
All right. Mikey Meatballs, jump in here. You're the UFC expert. Who wins this fight?
I think it's closer than people think. I do like the Oliveira by submission picked on 3, 4, 5.
You don't have to say it.
No, I do. I do like
man.
That one, but I really
don't
like
to say it.
I think Rose is the big one. I think Brother Bryce Barley is money right there.
See, here's the thing. I'll probably go because I'm dying to parlay something with Canelo, who's what, -550 around there, Bry? I don't know. Maybe it went up.
Maybe a little bit less. It might be a little bit less.
Brian's definitely going to have Oliveira.
-490.
He's going to have Oliveira.
Yeah, I like Oliveira. Oliveira is another one of my favorite fighters. So
maybe I'll win money on this and then double it and lose it on Oliveira. We'll figure it out. But this comes earlier. I'll probably parlay Canelo with like Luca 15 plus points tonight or something stupid, right? And just get any odds. But, you know, Brian, I'll go with you. Canelo and Rose, -125. Parlay. Mm-hmm. There you go. I'll tell you what, I think we put together a nice little assortment of picks here. We did it with our NBA. We'll have a graphic up, but with our props and our sides and our totals, our derby picks, Shark Tank is all good. We're going to take a break, talk to hockey racing expert Eddie Olczyk. Be right back. All right, let's bring in our guest. You know, no one breaks down hockey and horses like this guy, from the rink to the races. He's got it covered. NHL legend, TNT, NBC Derby lead handicapper, and our pal Eddie Olczyk is here. What's happening, Eddie?
Well, how are you, buddy? Nice to be with you. And what a great time of year, as I like to say, pucks and ponies, nothing better. We got hockey tonight. I'm in New York tonight for Rangers and Penguins game 2. Hopefully it's not triple overtime, just for the record. Okay, I'm going to be a little – can I be selfish here to start? I don't want any triple overtime tonight. Maybe one overtime would be okay because of the theater. And I'm going to head to Louisville for the Derby on Saturday on NBC, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's so funny. Well, first of all, I mean, to my knowledge, no horses have been asked to wear skates. But, I mean, really, that's the next step for you. I mean, you're an expert in both these, and this is your week. But I do want to talk about that real quick. We're recording this ahead of time before game 2. It's so funny because the players don't seem to like the triple, quadruple overtimes. The coaches, the analysts don't seem to like it. The fans love it. It's a weird thing, right?
Yeah, it is. It's you know, I think the lasting effect is the unknown, right? Like I played in a bunch of double overtime games. I never got to any triple overtime games as a player. Mm-hmm. As a broadcaster, I've done 4 and 5 overtime games, which is just really, it's really incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this, is that I don't want to see extra inning baseball where we put somebody on second base and do that. I don't want to do that in hockey. But I would say, and I've been a big proponent of this, is that why don't we just keep the overtime period the longest away from your defensive zone, from your bench? So keep it where your goaltender is the farthest away from your bench, so that the changes become much more harder. They become much more challenging, so that the opportunity for an odd man situation or for a bad change, or maybe you get another opportunity maybe to do it. So just keep everybody at the same end all the time. I think that the numbers would tell me that, like in the second period, right? In a normal game, the first and third period, you're protecting the zone closest to your bench. Second period, sometimes it becomes a little bit more challenging to defend. And I think once you get to overtime, especially in the playoffs, and it is about the product. Look, we've had this argument with football, right? Like, talk to Kansas City and Buffalo in the National Football League with the playoffs this year, right? Like, everybody's trying to get it right. But for me, I would like to see that happen. And I think that games wouldn't go as long just because of the challenging aspect of how far your bench is away from your goaltender and defensive zone.
I like that. That's a minor tweak. And to the eye, probably most people watching couldn't even tell what the difference is. But I think you're right. It would shorten it a little bit. I mean, no one wants to see shootouts. I wonder, you like the 4-on-4?
I do like the 4-on-4, but I'm not into playoff hockey. Absolutely not. I think the league has done wonders here over the course of the last 15 years with rules and changes and whatever. And look, it's a minor thing. But again, I think when you really look at it, and being an old school guy, you sit there and go, okay, maybe there is a way to have closure in the right way, but let's make sure that these athletes are able to recuperate and our fans are being able to see the best product, not only that night, but then also for the games moving forward.
I have to say, I think you'll appreciate this as a risk taker here. So many years ago, I was at Jimmy Kimmel Live. I was writing and I had the office and I saw a prop that no playoff game, this is the day the playoffs were starting, no playoff game will go to triple overtime. And we got pretty good odds on it. And I was like, how much money do you guys want to make? They're like, well, what are the odds? I'm like, don't ask me the odds. Just tell me how much you want to make. 100, 200, 500. I had everyone bet. I'm like, we're betting that no game goes to triple overtime. Wouldn't you know, the very first day, I believe it was Caps Leafs triple overtime. They're like, what the hell? Well, I was like, I'm sorry. I had no idea.
I would have said, okay, I'll take it all. I'll guarantee you that we'll have more than one game that goes to triple overtime.
Really? Is there a reason for that? That we see it more in the playoff? I mean, I guess the reason is that we see shootouts in the regular season.
Yeah, right. But. And look at sometimes in overtime hockey, sometimes. I mean, the game the other night here in New York was not this way. But at times, sometimes it becomes a volley type of game like in tennis, where it's just baseline back and forth. The next thing you know, you're sitting with 8 minutes left to go in the overtime. You're like, nobody's going to ever score here. And then next thing you know, Malkin scores in game one and they win the game. So I would say I would go the other way. If there's a wager out there somewhere, will there be another triple overtime game? I would sign up right now.
Take the yes. Okay. You know, we have a producer, Eddie Spaghetti, big Ranger fans, convinced the Penguins and Sidney Crosby get more calls go their way than anyone else. How do you feel about that?
No, definitely not. Come on, Eddie Spaghetti. You're smarter than that. Especially
he's
a guy
not.
Named,
he's not.
Especially a guy that is referred to as Eddie. I played for the Rangers. Was a part, very small part of the team that won the Cup in New York in 1994. I spent 8 or 9 years of my life in Pittsburgh as a coach, as a broadcaster, as a player. All good players get calls. I don't care where they are. I don't care what sport it is. For the most part, they get calls. Some people may look at it again. How do you look at the glass? But no, absolutely not. I don't think that there's any favoritism or anything like that. I mean, the other night, I remember Panarin could have gotten a penalty there, but the referee just, you know, he kept his arm down and he didn't put him in the penalty box or whatever. So I would totally disagree with Eddie Spaghetti. I do like Spaghetti and I'm a little disappointed in Eddie.
We're all disappointed. Shame on you, Spaghetti. Don't say that out loud anymore. Hey, you did win the cup famously for the Rangers. What did you do with the cup the day you had it? Everybody gets it for a day, right?
Yeah. Well, being a horse guy, I had a private party at the Meadowlands Racetrack over in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And then on July 1st, I believe, of 1994, I went to Belmont Park and got a chance to take a picture with the Kentucky Derby winner in 1994, Gopher Gin, and New York trainer Nick Zito. And then we put the Stanley Cup at the finish line at Belmont Park on a Friday afternoon. And people made donations to the Horseman's Benevolent Fund. I think we raised over, $18,000 for the fund. And it was surreal because I think we had about 18,000 people that came to the racetrack that day and took pictures with the Stanley Cup. So it is there aren't many things in life that can stop traffic. But I saw in 1994, especially in this city, I saw the Stanley Cup stop traffic numerous times when either we were taking it out of a car and getting ready to go into a restaurant and we put it on the hood of the car and people just absolutely stopped in their cars, came and touched it. I mean, you talk about a magnet, the greatest trophy in all of professional sports, in my opinion, is a magnet. So I spent it at the racetrack, not surprised, and it was something I'll never forget.
It really is. I love that you intertwined your fascination with horse racing with the stand. Did you drink like a gallon of mint juleps out of the Stanley Cup?
No, you're talking to somebody that chose a long, long time ago to go the opposite of being a drinker. So
good for you.
all we did was celebrate it. And actually, I think Gopher Gin, actually, there's a famous picture, but I think it's famous because I'm in it. There's a famous picture of Gopher Gin and myself. He looks like he's eating out of the Stanley Cup, but we did a little bait and switch where we put some oats and some peppermint, I think, and some carrots inside the cup. And then we took it out and then we went over and we showed him the inside of the tin of the cup. And all of a sudden he put his nose right in there and looked like he was eating out of the Stanley Cup. So,
oh, great.
But I will say this though, Sal, is that, I know for a fact that there have been a lot worse things than a horse's nose and tongue inside the Stanley Cup.
Okay? Yeah, I think there's like a book out on it, or if there's not, there should be. Maybe we should do it. By the way, that'd be a great documentary, just the same. Yeah, for that.
So that's who was drinking out of the cup and eating out of the cup instead of yours truly. So
that's awesome. All right, before we switch to the big race, I want to get your pick for Stanley Cup Finals. What was it? You know, a month ago, and are you sticking with that pick?
Yeah, I thought Colorado and Carolina at the start of the year. I kind of fell in love with the way that Florida was playing as the season went on. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, they had a tough game one against Washington, but you know, look, I think Colorado is the team to beat. Yeah, they have a little bit of everything, right? They've got the goal scoring, you got the speed. I think they've got the toughness, they got the D. And then, you know, I think the goaltending is good enough. That's probably the only thing I'm going to have a little question mark is can Darcy Kuemper get the job done in Colorado? But I feel pretty comfortable in staying on that path. And you know, but look, as you know, playoff hockey is so unpredictable. I mean, Tampa has an awful game one. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden they come back and look like the defending back-to-back Stanley Cup champions and really handle Toronto quite easily in game two. So I wouldn't put it by Tampa to make a run, but I think, you know, Carolina's a, you know, I don't want to say an under the radar team, but they're a team that I think is built to play playoff hockey. And the guy that actually built that is the great Ronnie Francis, Hall of Famer, and who now is in charge of the Seattle Kraken out there. Right. He got dismissed a couple of years ago, and a lot of this roster, and I'm going to say probably a high 70 percentile of this roster, was built by Ronnie Francis. And oh, by the way, I got a little blood in the game there. His assistant general manager at that time in Carolina happened to be my middle brother, Ricky. So I'll give him a little bit of love on that too.
Oh, I love it. All right. Ricky and Ronnie, good job by you. So Carolina, Colorado, if you wanted to put that in, you get plus 780, as a cup final there. I'm trying to think if you switch it to Tampa, Colorado, get plus 1220. Yeah, that seems
like not bad. Not bad. Yeah. Good value either way there. Good value. Tampa, I mean, until somebody beats them, right? They've done it. They've proven it. And this should be a hell of a series here. The next five games, I would assume it's going to go the distance with Toronto.
That'll be a fun one. All right, so let's do it. Let's switch from pucks to ponies. Kentucky Derby. No Bob Baffert this year. By the way, that would be a good like a Manning cast, but for horse racing, we get to sit with Bob Baffert and watch the race. I imagine he'd be very bitter. I don't know. Does he even watch? Do you even watch if you're Bob Baffert?
I'm sure it's probably very difficult and very frustrating, and you know, wondering why there's a lack of consistency in the game of horse racing. And look, Sal, you know this, I'm as big as a fan and proponent of the game of horse racing, the business, the sport. Until we in horse racing get a commissioner of some sort and the racetracks come together, we're going to have situations like this arise, and we need to have somebody at the helm to take the horses, you know, by the tail and get it to where these other major sports leagues are. I mean, we do not have anybody in place. Everybody has their own rules. All the states have their own rules. You have some situations where people, you know, get suspended and then they appeal and then they keep appealing and then they keep working and riding and training for a year after the time. I mean, so there's just so many things. And Bob Baffert just happens to be somebody that is, I think, caught up in the crosshairs here. And look, full disclosure, his horse failed a drug test. He should be held accountable, and he is being held accountable. But I think the one thing that happened in particular with this horse that won the Kentucky Derby last year is that when they found out that there was a positive test, let me figure out how I want to say this. I think the perception was is that the drug that was inside of the horse that got disqualified was an illegal drug. The fact of the matter is it was not. It is a drug that is allowed in horse racing, but the amount is what was the issue. And that falls on Bob's hand. There's no question. He should be punished, and he is being punished and severely punished. But again, you look back at horse racing and what has happened in trainers and in certain situations talking about the medication of horses. There has to be more consistency in our game, and long-winded. I'm sure it's probably it's got to be very difficult for Bob to see a lot of his horses that will be competing in the Kentucky Derby. He has two. He had two of these horses in Messier and Taba that are under now the guidance mm-hmm. of Tim Yakin, another trainer. So I'm sure it'd probably be very difficult. And I put myself in that situation. I know when I retired from playing, it was really hard for me to watch. And again, different story. I understand that. But mm-hmm. it was very emotional and very hard to watch hockey the first little while after I retired, because there's that part of you that goes, nah, I could still do this. You know, there's every once in a while, right. even some 20 some years later, 22 years later, since I retired, Sal, where you wake up and you go, man, oh man, I think I could probably play a shift. And then I sit there and go, nah, I know I couldn't play a shift. I have no chance of doing it. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that. So he had two horses that he trained that are in the Derby. Yeah. Do you think, you know, Bob Baffert, is he rooting for those horses? Because if they win, yeah. I guess he could say, well, those were my horses. That's why yeah. they're winners.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if
yeah.
they, or he could say, oh man, that should have been me. He might've been upset. Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's a guy that's won the Triple Crown twice. So, I mean, you know, like yeah. he's, you know, I think he's in a good spot, but I think, you know, there is merit there to, hey, I assisted and I helped. And just considering mm-hmm. the climate that we are, as far as where this is all legally, you know, Tim Yakin will get the credit and rightfully so, but Bob was the guy that nurtured these two horses. I mean, Taba is a horse that's only run twice. And now he's coming into his third race. So he won the Santa Anita Derby in a second career race. I look at that as a horse racing guy and a handicapper, Sal, is that I think there's probably an opportunity for him to regress. So I don't think that he can run back to that same race again at the Derby. Mm-hmm. And as far as Messier, the equine athlete, not my former teammate,
right.
the four-legged athlete, I don't know if he can go the mile and a quarter. I'm a little concerned on the distance aspect of it, but he's going to be involved in the race early. There's no doubt about it. So I think the faster they go, the better for the horses that I like on Saturday.
I think your time's coming. If there's a Messier, there's got to be an Olchek coming.
There
as
is
a horse,
actually,
right?
You know what? There is an Olchek that was named about 7 or 8 weeks ago. Wesley Ward is the trainer.
Really?
Yeah. And all I'll say is hopefully the equine athlete Olchek is a little faster than the human athlete. And again, the only thing that I think that hopefully the only thing that we have in common is that mm-hmm. we're both geldings. That's it. That's the only thing
gotcha.
We have in common.
Right. Yes. They've said that a lot about you. I understand. There must have been an Eddie O, probably five Eddie O horses,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I remember one. He was not very good. He was given rides out here at Central Park about 2 weeks after he started racing because he wasn't very good. So,
okay.
But I go by Edzo too. So I don't know if there's an Edzo out there or not, but I'm just hoping that this one maybe is, maybe this one will end up, and again, I have no ownership or any affiliation. I just happen to be the namesake right. With Olchek, the 2-year-old gelding.
All right, so let's get started. So with the favorites, I guess Epicenter and Zandon, yeah. I the numbers are jumping around here, but those are the two favorites.
Yeah, those
and
are
I guess
those are the 3 and the 10. Yeah, that's the 3 Epicenter yep. and the 10 is Zandon. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So if you have to pick a winner, is it one of those two? Do you go a little longer shot with Messier?
I'm not going to use Messier. I'm not. He's the 6th horse. I think the 3-horse Epicenter is the horse to beat. I'm a little surprised that he would have been my morning line favorite. Zandon mm-hmm. is the favorite, the 10 horse, but I think Epicenter has proven that he can be very tactical. He can be very close to the lead. He can come off of the pace. Joel Rosario is one of the top pilots. And then you have Steve Asmussen, who's leading trainer in North American history as far as wins. I think Epicenter is the horse to beat. You're probably getting 3-1, 7-2, maybe in that range. If that horse happens to go to 4-1 Epicenter, it'd be hard for me not to bet him. I don't know if I'm going to pick him on the air because I don't know if I want to pick the second favorite, but he's the horse to beat. I will say this. I've been on the bandwagon, Sal, of the number one horse, Mo Donegal, since the end of January, early February. I've got a couple of future wagers on Mo Donegal at north of 30-1, and I got a couple in the 25 to 28 to 1 range. He's not going to be anywhere near that price. So I'm sitting there going, well, do I really want to bet him at the Derby when he's 13-1, 14-1? I don't know if I'll bet him to win, but I'll probably bet him in some of my exotics and my exactas and my tries and my supers. So everything mm-hmm. I do on Saturday is going to be based around the one horse, Mo Donegal. Now, just to go a little inside horse racing for everybody. 3 years ago, it used to be when you have a 20 horse field at the Kentucky Derby, there would be two starting gates. There would be one for 14, it'd be an auxiliary gate, and then you have the other six. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of years, now they have just one gate. So if you just paint a picture at looking at, you know, maybe like runners at the Olympics are going to run a 100-yard dash straight ahead. The one horse back in the day, the rail, the way it is, starting gate is way in the back. So the one post position would be actually inside where he'd have to break and then get out because he'd be run into the final turn fence.
I gotcha.
So now they've moved it over almost 50 some feet. So now when he looks straight ahead, he sees just track. You don't have to sit there and maneuver and try to move over 25 or 30 feet if you're not a really fast horse. So mm-hmm. we haven't had a winner of the Kentucky Derby, Sal, out of post position number one since we're going back to Bill Shoemaker and Ferdinand back in the mid 80s. I think it was 86 or 88. Don't quote me. It's somewhere in there. But we haven't had a winner come from post position number one since then. But I think Mo Donegal, he likes being inside horses. He doesn't mind getting the dirt in his face. And with 20 horses, he's going to get a lot of dirt in his face. But I think he's got one of the top jockeys in the world, and Irad Ortiz Jr. on him. It's going to take a lot. I'm going to use a hockey phrase here. He's going to have to stick handle his way through traffic. And if he can, mm-hmm. I think he's bred to go the mile and a quarter. He won the Wood in New York a couple of weeks ago. So I'm probably going to go to the one horse, Mo Donegal. Looks like the weather's going to be good, but all of my wagers are going to be based around the 1 and 3 horse on Saturday.
So you're saying the one horse should line up by the opposing bench so they could take a look at line shifts and line changes. I'm mixing conversations here. I don't know. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find a way to go Mo Donegal parlayed with Carolina and Colorado. And this is going to be the Eddie O special. And I don't even know how many, 100-1 we would have got on that?
I don't know if you're going to get 100-1 on that, but I think you'll probably get, if I just do really quick math here, if I think seven.
I mean, it's 8-1 plus the horse.
No, I think you're probably getting, I don't think you're getting any more than 40. I don't think you're getting any more than 48-1.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's
still, that's not,
what am I going to do with 48-1? What am I going to do? That's great.
Okay, well, bet 1,000 and then you'll know what you're going to do with it.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow. I didn't even realize that I could do that. Eddie, thanks so much. It's great. Eddie, you have a charity you want to shout out? I will donate it to as soon as we hang up.
Well, you know, Sal, I appreciate that. Look, you know, I'm a stage 3 colon cancer survivor, and I can't believe I'm going on my 5-year anniversary coming up on August the 4th at 7:07 PM coming up.
Oh, that's great.
5 years since I was diagnosed, and I'm very lucky to be here, and thank you for your time. And so any colon cancer research would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Eddie Olczyk, inspiration to all of us, NHL legend. Like I said, you can check him out on NBC and the Derby, check him out on TNT for hockey. Thanks so much for coming on, pal.
See you, Sal. Be well. Stay safe.
All right, buddy. Thank you. You too. Now,
all right. He's great. I'd love to have him on every week. I don't think he wants to be bothered with us, but and as Spaghetti, he did say you're being ridiculous about Game 1, at least about the treatment of the Penguins and how they get the break.
I mean, so the proof is in the pudding. Just watch what's going on the last 2 games. Tell me why Sidney Crosby could jab guys with the stick after the whistle and not get called anything. Why is the power play so lopsided? I mean, it just makes you think whenever the team with the bird in their chest is playing, always Fugazi stuff goes on.
I love this. I need this to go, like I said, I want it to go like 33 games. But if it goes 5 games, the next day we do extra points is third for the very next day. And if it goes 7 games, we just can't have it go 6. Because I think that's a Saturday game, and then we get lost. The emotion gets lost here. But Spaghetti, I think you're ready. You and Sheck go toe-to-toe. Boy, it was so tense. So tense yesterday. It's like Scott Holmes, the Grizz, is like, boy, what kind of culture have you created here? But I think it's fun. I like it. I like the whole thing. Bri, you know what's fun? WNBA starting up. I don't think they ended their last season, but they're just like, you know what? Let's start another one. No, what's going on? It starts tonight.
Yeah, it's funny. It really does seem like it just ended. And I think, again, we said last year, just kind of between the Olympics and it just started, like, I think with COVID, they just kind of had a little bit of a, you know, it kind of was a delay anyway. So, yeah, it is funny how quickly it's starting back up.
Yeah. All right. So give us a winner. Have you looked at it? It's a messed up year, not knowing if Griner is going to make it.
Well, that's
the
thing. Yeah. I mean, I don't like the Mercury anyway, even though I do like that. I mean, getting Tina Charles, one of the best WNBA players out there, too. So they added another one to the roster. I do think it's a four team race between the Storm, Sun, Sky, and Aces, like everybody else does, because those teams pretty much just got better. So I'm going to say this. You know, I gave out the Storm 2 years ago. I probably gave them out last year, but I also did give out the Sky last year, I think at like 8-1, who won it. But I'm going to say the Storm again win it at 5-1. I think last year they had a chance of winning the whole thing too, but Breonna Stewart had just gotten injured right before, I'm trying to think, it was last game right before the playoffs had started. So they added Breon January, who played a big role for the Sun last season. It's Sue Bird's last season. So I think, you know, with Breonna Stewart, between college and WNBA, I mean, she's just a winning player. So I do like them at 5-1. The fact that you're getting them at the fourth worst odds, I guess, there.
Right.
But I will say my big bet, they also offer some other things. They also have some MVP they just put out today and some other things. My big bet was Dallas Wings to make the playoffs at +200. They made the playoffs last year. They were the youngest team in the WNBA last season. They added some nice pieces. They have some players back who missed half of the season. So, you can scroll down this list. You have like, I think 9 teams are like minus money. And then you have the 3 other teams are plus money. 8 teams make the playoffs. I mean, I think, again, you can lock in 4 or 5 of these teams. I think Minnesota's down a little bit this year. But I really like Minnesota. The fact you get them 2-1, that would be my big bet for the WNBA season.
Did you say Dallas or Minnesota?
Dallas Wings to make the playoffs. Minnesota, I think, is going to be worse this year because they also.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Dallas Wings 2-1. All right. Let's bet Dallas, Parley Kid. You'll give us a little, whet our appetite there for the real Dallas coming up in a few months.
Yeah.
Dallas Wings 2-1. There you go. And that's not it for women's sports. We got a buddy, Sean Nahas, doing great things. Is that Saturday? Is that on TV?
Yeah, so that's the NWSL Challenge Cup. He's in the finals tomorrow, I think 1:00 on CBS.
He coaches,
North Carolina Courage.
Yeah, there you go.
Heck yeah. John Glenn High School, class of 1996. Right? Is that right?
Class
of 96?
Graduate class of 96. Yeah, it's a big
dude. Good guy. Nahas.
Good guy.
There you go.
Yeah, let's go.
Maybe Harry could load up his players with gummies before the big game.
His brother's a little shady, though.
Which one? Damon? You don't even know Damon.
I know the other one.
There you go. All right. You have anything to say, Babyface? You have anything to add?
No, this is it's a big weekend. I'm going to play Harry's Exacta Box. I think he based it off his favorite value meals at McDonald's, those numbers.
1, 4, 11, and 12. What is it? No. All right.
Only the double quarter pounder with cheese, Joel.
We'll have graphics up for all of those. Spaghetti, you have an update here with this UFC. This could actually play into a lot of what we just talked about.
Yeah, just saw this come across on Twitter. I'm not the biggest UFC guy, but I imagine if Olivier does not make weight, and that means he can't fight, and that would lead to a number of problems for those either wanting to bet on this fight or watch it, because it seems like Gaethje is the only
what
one.
What do you say? He has like 3 minutes to make weight or something?
By now, about so, yeah. And then he would vacate the title, and only Gaethje is eligible to win it.
Oh, no. You gotta fix the scale like the Parlay Kid used to do. I don't know.
Yeah, his purse will get hurt, but you know.
Is that what? That's right. Yeah,
and then it'll be a belt issue, but they should still fight. I mean,
all right.
I have to say, I'm reading this right now too, real quickly. I could be wrong, but he's got 1 hour to cut 0.5 pound. I mean, come on,
he does now.
He's
okay.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he was a 0.5 pound over. He has an hour to lose 0.5 pound. We know how this goes. I mean, come on.
He has an hour. What's the 5 minutes
part? He has an hour?
Yeah.
He has an hour after his first attempt, I guess.
Oh, I see.
You have then get an hour. So we know that shit for those guys. But the problem is if he's been a late weight cut here in this camp, that really could mess up my pick. But my pick is my pick. It's what it is.
There you go. I'm going with Sean Nahas's team. That's my best bet of the weekend. All right.
Let's go courage.
Well,
I will say
you should be able to bet them. That's one of the annoying things right now, right? Like I can't
bet. Yeah.
You can't bet a women's professional soccer. That's something that has to be fixed.
Sure, of course. All right. This was a great hour. It's a fun week. I want to thank Eddie Olczyk. That's another episode of Against the Law. It's for Eddie Olczyk, for Spaghetti and Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta. I'm Sal Singh. So long and happy handicapping. Na 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 na